back in the 50s, and yeah, I remember them. The 50s as a boy. I will say that in the 50s, I was a fairly young boy, yeah. But one of the things that I was always interested in, and my friends, we were big into electric trains. And, oh, I saw the electric trains on display in Sears, or I saw them in catalogs and magazines. Electric trains, how I wanted an electric train so badly. And so I tried to impress that fact upon my parents as we approached a Christmas together, and wanted to make sure they knew that I would like an electric train. And you know, I sort of felt like, well, maybe I got some positive response from that. And so I had this anticipation, you know, that just really was building up in me. And it came Christmas morning, and what do you know? There was a package under the tree, and it was the right size. I mean, I could visualize that could contain that electric train. I was so excited, and finally it's my turn to open my present. We didn't open a lot of presents back then, but I opened my present. And I pulled the paper back, and I looked at it, and it was a wind-up train. And it was on a metal base. You wound the train up, and it went around and around and around until it ran down. I was so disappointed. And yet, it was a train. And I had asked for a train. And you know that next year I played with that train over and over, just wound it up, watched it. It did have a little crossing thing in the middle. That was pretty neat. And I was really, next year, had very subdued feelings about the possibility. But I had so enjoyed that train, and I think I had proven that to my parents. And that Christmas, as I looked under the tree, there was a package. Oh, it was the right size. It could possibly be what I was after. And when it was my turn and I opened up my package, to my eyes' amazement, I saw an American Flyer electric train. I mean, it had like 10-foot of track with it. It had a transformer, you know. I've looked it up since, and I know it was a starter kit. And it amazes me that my parents paid the money they paid back then. We didn't have money. And yet they bought me that electric train. I was just, when I saw it, just so amazed. Today we're going to look at a man here in this scripture who finally gets to see what he's been looking for so long. He's waited. He's been through discouragement after discouragement, but he's waited. And suddenly, he sees it before him. That's Simeon that we're going to look at. But first, we need to see the couple. If you're filling this out on the back of your bulletin, it's just something to keep you awake with me, okay? The first line there, the couple. C-O-U-P-L-E, the couple. Of course, as we looked at the story, the couple was Jesus and Mary, and they had with them the baby. I just picture them there coming to the temple that day. We've all made the trip here today. I'm just trying to picture back and get my mind back there. Here they come up out of Bethlehem. They're on a donkey, probably. And as they come up through there, the 6 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. They're kind of headed uphill. It's always uphill to Jerusalem. And as they do so, if I could see their hearts, I'm sure I would see that they were almost bursting with joy and happiness because of the child that they had. the child they brought with them. And they look up and they see the temple up ahead, and I'm sure Herod's temple, as it had been in the process of being rebuilt and still had things to do, but as I think they saw it off in the distance, I'm sure they were impressed by that building. But that wasn't why they were going. Why were they headed to God's house? Today I want that to be kind of a question that we permeate all of our thoughts with. Why are we here? Why did we come to God's house this morning? Why do we come to God's house? Well, first thing I want you to see from this passage of Scripture is they were headed to God's house as an act of obedience. As an act of obedience. Look at this portion of Scripture if you have your Bible there. It says, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Just stopping right there for a minute. Obviously, why Mary and Joseph are headed for the temple is as an act of obedience. One of the things you might put down in your market basket this morning of ideas about why we're in God's house is that we're being obedient. God wants us to be here. God's asked us to be here, to meet with Him here, or at least to meet with His people. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We're supposed to be in God's house worshiping God, and we have a wonderful opportunity here to do that. And so Mary and Joseph, as an act of obedience, according to the purification law, 40 days after the baby had been born, they were to take the child and present him to the Lord, and also to make sacrifice. It included giving back to God, if you're putting that on your thing. Included giving back to God. Let's continue here. It says, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Mary and Joseph aren't just going to church because that's a good opportunity for them to see their friends. They're not going to church because it's a great opportunity to show off baby Jesus, just 40 days old. You know, I'm so thankful for our young couples here in our church and the acts of obedience that I see in their life in bringing these young ones to the house of God. It's wonderful. And some of them so very young yet. And we go back in our minds, my wife and I, to when we were bringing our children to God's house. And how wonderful it was just to bring them and to offer them, in that sense, back to God. We've had many wonderful dedication services over the years of youngsters to the Lord. But here we are, we've got Mary and Joseph. First of all, they're following the Lord's prescribed way of doing things by bringing him, so an act of obedience. Secondly, they're coming as a way to offer back to God the sacrifice that He's asked. Now, we could go into all of this as to why 40 days later in the rite of purification and the firstborn. The fact is, Jesus was the firstborn in that family, and he was a male. And firstborn males were to be offered back to God. At one point, it was the way that they would have a priesthood, have somebody that could fill in the roles of priestly duties. And then they prescribed the tribe of Levi to be the ones that would offer the sons who were in the priesthood. And so for Mary and Joseph, this was not saying here, we're giving him up for the priesthood, But they were offering him to God as because God said to, for whatever it was that God had in mind for this young child. I think Mary and Joseph must have had some inkling because of the angels who had visited with them and had told them about the great birth that was going to take place and who this child would be and what his name would be and so on. They must have had some inkling of this is going to be, he's the Son of God. But they bring him here and they follow through in the act of obedience, and then they bring the turtle doves or the pigeons, whichever they had, we're not sure, because they were poor, and they offered them as sacrifice at the same time. You see, Joseph grew up in a house where obedience and sacrifice were important and were demonstrated early and were impressed upon that family very early. And so, first of all, we see with this couple that they're headed to God's house in obedience. They're offering sacrifice to God, which is also an act of obedience, but it comes from their hearts that are so gushing with thanks to God for what he has provided for them. But when we read this portion of Scripture, we not only see the couple, the young couple, Mary and Joseph, and see the baby, but we also see where a very observant Simeon. A very observant Simeon, I'm going to call him here. Look to verse number, let's go to verse number 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man, listen to this description, was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Wow, that's quite a description of a man who's come to the house of God. We're putting things in our bucket list. Let's put this down. Here's a man who's looking, and we ought to come to God's house looking for something. We want to be obedient to him. We want to bring our sacrifice to him. We want to come with expectation. We want to be looking, and Simeon was not only looking, but he was observant as he did so. As you look in verse number 25, here's what he was looking for. He's looking for the right thing. I think you can put that down on your sheet there. Looking for the right thing. It says there in verse 25, he is looking for the consolation and waiting for the consolation of Israel is one of the things he was looking for, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It says he's looking for the Christ, the Messiah. You know, whether we like to think of it or not, when we come here, we're looking. And we're looking around, and who's here? Are they sitting where they're supposed to? First of all, that's very important. But who are they with? Are they looking well? And so on. But it's so important as we would come into God's house, we move down the aisle, we move out into our pews, wherever we are, that then our heart begins the process of really looking to see Jesus. It's important. You know, people come and they can come to a church service. You can have 3-4 people. And each one of them, as they come, if you were to ask them afterwards, well, yeah, that's a good message. Or, I don't know what he was talking about. I didn't get a thing out of it. 3-4 different people all having looked at the same thing. You know, it's the eyes that we look through, isn't it? When we come to God's house, got to come with expectation. We come in here into God's house, all of us looking for the same thing, and God will reveal that to us, what our need is, as we do that. So caught up in what we thought we saw, or what we saw with our physical eyes, but our spiritual heart wasn't there in it. What is it God would show to us as we're here before Him? Simeon looks over at the young couple, and here he sees this child. And I'm sure for Simeon, he's seen hundreds of babies go into the temple. He's an older man. He's a devout man. He's a righteous man, the Bible says. He's in God's house when God's house is open, and he's seen lots of children come and go. So why would he look at this child and put him in his hands and lift him up and make a declaration of who he is? He's looking in the right place for the right thing. He's looking for the Messiah. He's looking for Christ. Sometimes we can come to the same service. So many of us can come to the same service. And we have the same music. And we have the same preaching. But we don't get the same thing out of it. Depends on what we're looking for as we come. Oh, that God would keep our eyes attentive to Him. When we come into this house, we pick up His Word. This is His Word. We pick it up and we read it as truth. And as we look at it, that we would see Jesus as Simeon did. Well, he kept looking, although he must have been discouraged. Looking, though probably discouraged. Not quite the right way to write it, but discouraged is your word there. You might have heard of the 400 silent years, the years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where there's no basically written record that they had. And they're just so silent. And Simeon's born at the end of this period of time, and he must have spent days and days. He's an older man now, there at the temple, and he looked. But why was it that it was especially keen to Simeon right now? Look at verse number 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and bless God. Here's Simeon after all these years. Now he's waiting, but the Holy Spirit, and he had a conversation. Simeon knew it was about to happen. He was not going to pass from this life now, he knew, from his conversation with God. Before, he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he comes in the Spirit, it says. Well, he's looking in the right place. He's in God's house. He's looking for the right thing. He's looking, though he's probably discouraged, and he's looking in the right way. He's looking with the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life. And you know, as we come into God's house, do we take time to prepare our hearts? Do we ask God to move in our hearts and to speak to us during our service? Do we ask Him, His Holy Spirit, to direct us as we're here? And Simeon was under the direction of the Holy Spirit, looking in the right way, right mind and heart, moved by the Spirit. I do like to say this, that we're here today, and it's not by accident. Now, you may think, well, I kind of decided the other day maybe I'll get to church this week. Or you're one who comes regular. But the fact is, you're in that pew, you're sitting by that person, you're sitting by, because God has a reason for that this morning. And as you hear, I hope that God's Holy Spirit, you're allowing Him to speak to you through His Word. It was the Holy Spirit that convinced Simeon that he was seeing the child. Of the hundreds he had seen, this was the child. I look at babies, and bless your heart, all babies look alike to me. They're all cute, right? Beautiful children. But Simeon looked at this child, and he knew this was the one that God had told him he was going to provide for him. So he took the child up and he blessed him. And he gave us these great words that we have here. Will you turn again then to our passage, verse 29, where Simeon says in response to seeing this child, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." He was looking for him, he had been promised him, and he sees him. And what does he refer to him as? As salvation. So many things in that little passage there from 29 to 32 that are important for us this morning. Here's a just, devout man. In other words, he's a man who's right with God and he's devout. He sticks to it and does the job, what he's supposed to, and is devout before God and his faithfulness to him. And he says, "Now you're letting your servant depart in peace." First thing we see there is that Simeon is able now to say, "Well, my eyes have seen him. I've seen the salvation that he's promised, and I can rest in peace." Simeon almost is inviting the Lord to go ahead and take him now. He's seen what he has been after, and God has worked out his promises in his life. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all people." Simeon wasn't just looking for a baby, was he? Simeon was looking for a Savior. And so as he saw this child and he lifted him up, he recognized him as Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then he goes on to say, "You've prepared him in the presence of all people." And that word "all" is so important there. It just means all. In the presence of all people. He's in the Jewish temple, isn't he? The presentation is in the Jewish temple. Simeon's there, but Simeon says, "You've prepared him for salvation for all people." Not the Jews, who would probably basically be the attendees here. But for all people, all the scripture is replete with that idea that Jesus Christ is Savior for all. Paul's ministry was later to be very heavily involved in taking the gospel to the Gentiles. He goes on to say, "Simeon, a light for revelation to the Gentiles." I wonder how that talk went over in the temple. I wonder what the others who were there, the learned people, were thinking about that. You see, unfortunately, even in the temple of that day, it wasn't just the devout and righteous that were there. They were also there, as there are in many churches and groups and bodies of worshipers. People are there because it's Sunday. And, well, yeah, we're supposed to be in God's house. What will the kids think if we don't go to church this Sunday? Or who knows what goes on in their minds. They got to be there because there's a business deal to make. And church is a good place to see that particular fellow and accomplish that business deal. No. Simeon's here. He's looking for a Savior, and he sees him. And it's for all people, including the Gentiles. Let's just use Gentiles in the sense of all who are not Jewish. Christ came into the world to save everyone, didn't he? Save sinners, period. And so we have that great message from Simeon there. He says he's for everyone. Well, Simeon's faith and acceptance has prepared him for the future, including death. He says, "Dismiss your servant in peace." He had peace with God, and he had the peace of God reigning in his heart. He could go and do whatever it is that God has for him at this point because of his acceptance of what God had brought into his life. Well, we have the couple, Mary and Joseph and the baby, and we have Simeon that's here. And before we see this other person who's also, and you might have noticed her name is Anna. She's in this scripture, and we're going to look at her in just a minute. But there's something else that I see here about what Simeon said. Listen to this. Now we're in the temple, remember. He's talking to Mary and Joseph. Wouldn't you think he would want to, if he's blessing this child upon recognizing him, wouldn't you think he'd want to say some really encouraging words to them? Something that would really boost them up? But listen to what Simeon says. In verse number 33, "And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Simeon's not just doesn't just have for Mary a really nice, sweet message this morning. Bless you, Mary. Bless you, family. Bless this child. Simeon really cuts to the chase of what a Savior is here for. A Savior is here because there's sin in the world. The Savior has come because there's sin to be taken care of. There is sin to be judged, and this child will be the one who will be used in that process. I don't know what Mary must have thought when she heard that she was going to be her child was going to be opposed, that people were going to come up against him because of what he would say and what he would do. I can't imagine what Mary must have. Thoughts must have gone through her mind as she heard the words that a sword, as it says here, will pierce through your own soul also. Mary, your soul. Of course, we don't know that Simeon really knew what the future held for this Christ. But he had enough wisdom from God and revelation from the Holy Spirit in his life to know this child is faced with difficulty. And this child is going to be the one who is going to form the line. You're either on this side or you're on this side. Either you believe or you reject God's gift in the form of his son. And the cross, of course, becomes that vehicle that the world uses to bring that oppression to a final conclusion in his life. And when he says a sword shall pierce your soul, Mary, we can imagine, only imagine, what it must have been like for Mary to be there at the cross and to see her son now hanging on that cross because of the sin of this world. Because he had come to provide a substitute for that, to take that sin upon himself for us if we would trust him and believe in him. Well, Simeon's words are true to us today. I've heard pastors say it so many times here in our services, we came to an end of a service. Well, we've heard God's word. And we have to make a decision. That's why we're here this morning. You succumbed to the feeling finally and came to church. But we're here and we're hearing God's word, and we've got to respond to God's word. Do I think carefully and very accurately about why I'm in God's house of a Sunday? Do I really think about it? Let's move on with our last portion of Scripture, verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. Now she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at every hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. Here is a woman by the name of Anna, kindly referred to as a lady of advanced years. She is 84 years old. And in 84 years, she'd had about seven years of marriage and was a widow the rest of the time. And she lived in the outer courts of the temple area, and she was there fasting and praying, and that was her life of fasting and prayer. So we've seen a woman, or we've seen a couple, and we've seen Simeon, and now we see her with her advanced commitment, if you're putting that down. I'll let you use that word, advanced commitment. I mean, that's a remarkable thing. Constantly in prayer, constantly fasting, giving up of what she might like to have in her life or might like to eat or whatever in the role of fasting to serve the Lord. Put that in your basket of things we can do as we come to God's house. We need to be people of prayer, don't we? We need to be people who have given ourselves, or we're giving ourselves in these areas for the needs of others as we come to God's house. Both Anna and Simeon, when they saw the Lord there in the temple, Simeon recognized him, declared him. Anna declares him. She recognizes it. Both of them. What a wonderful thing. And they begin to tell everyone they see about it. It turns them into missionaries right away. They're telling the people who are around them, this is the Christ. He's the Savior. Well, in our lives, we have this opportunity, and it's a wonderful thing to come to God's house. It can become something we just do by repetition. It can be something that we just do over and over and we don't think it through. We're really not calculating what we're going to do when we come to God. We'll see folks, we'll be there. We'll say our highs and byes, and that'll be church again. But Simeon and Anna would help us to understand, and the young couple. Let's come in obedience. Let's come with the idea of giving back to God. Let's come lifting up the Savior and seeing him for the salvation that he has brought to us. Let's be people who come, and we might come with discouragement in our hearts, but we find here in this place, because we study God's word and we're with God's people, that discouragement lifted in our lives as it was for these two people. Let's ask God to help us as we come, that we might know, why are we in God's house anyway? What are we doing here?